We talk a lot about toolkits in life, like your professional toolkit or maybe an emergency preparedness one.
Right, or even a mental health toolkit.
Exactly. But if you are navigating the world of neurodivergence, whether you're autistic yourself, a parent, or a professional, that toolkit isn't just some metaphor.
No, it's a literal survival
Yeah,
mechanism.
you need strategies, you need data, and you kind of need them 5 minutes ago.
It really is survival. And the problem facing this community right now isn't usually a lack of information, it's actually the opposite.
The sheer volume of it.
Yes, the volume of noise. You go online looking for support, and you're just hit with this tidal wave of conflicting advice, dense academic papers, and completely unvetted opinions. It's paralyzing.
Which is why I was so interested in doing this deep dive today. We're looking at a comprehensive review from September 2025 that basically curates the ultimate audio ecosystem.
Right, we're talking about the world of autism audio shows.
Yeah. But reading through the source material, it struck me that this isn't just a list of shows to binge. It's actually a pretty strong argument for why audio has become the dominant medium for this community.
It's the whole support ecosystem idea. The review categorizes the landscape into four distinct pillars. You've got lived experiences, professional insights, family support, which surprisingly includes some humor.
I love that part.
Right. And then the really niche safety strategies.
But before we get into the specific creators, I want to dwell on the why for a second. The source material references Marshall McLuhan's idea that the medium is the message.
Oh, yeah.
And that usually feels like a, I don't know, a dusty philosophy class topic.
Yeah.
But in the context of autism and parenting neurodivergent kids, it's actually really practical.
It totally is. It comes down to cognitive load. The source explicitly mentions the folding laundry factor.
The folding laundry factor, yeah.
If you're a parent managing a sensory crisis or an autistic individual dealing with burnout,
Yeah.
you do not have the bandwidth to sit down and decode a dense medical textbook. You can't stop moving.
Right. Time and sensory energy are at an absolute premium. Audio allows for multitasking. You can be driving, cooking, or just decompressing in a dark room and still be learning. It's low friction.
And there's a massive accessibility layer here, too, that the review highlights. For many autistic listeners, processing large blocks of text can be a huge barrier. It can be exhausting.
Absolutely.
So audio, especially the ones that offer transcripts, creates a multimodal way to consume information. You can listen, you can read, or you can just dip in for 10 minutes to get a concept and get out. You
Yeah.
don't need to commit to a 2-hour lecture.
And beyond just the logistics of it, there's the isolation factor. We talk about data transfer, like learning facts, but the emotional data transfer is arguably way more important. Hearing a voice that sounds like yours matters.
That's the stigma reduction component. The source notes that listening to these stories provides a sense of community that is geographically impossible for a lot of people.
Yeah, if you live in a rural area, you might be the only family dealing with this.
Exactly. The medium amplifies voices that have historically been marginalized or spoken for rather than spoken to.
Well, speaking of being spoken to versus spoken with, let's get into that first category. The review calls this autistic voices and lived experience. This feels like the most critical shift in the landscape over the last few years.
Moving away from the purely clinical view.
Right. It's the shift from about to by. There's a quote in the source from Doug Blacher that really anchors this section. He says, "Autistic people are the true experts of the autistic experience."
It sounds so simple, but historically, the experts were always the clinicians observing behaviors from the outside.
Yeah.
No.
And Doug Blacher actually hosts one of the standout shows mentioned, Autism Stories. What I really appreciated about the review's analysis of his show is the sheer range.
He isn't just interviewing advocates or people talking about their struggles.
No, he's talking to autistic people in sports and professional consulting, literally every walk of life.
That variety is the point. It shatters that monolithic view of autism. The media often portrays autism in one very specific, usually stereotypical way.
Like the Rain Man trope.
Or the tech genius in the basement. Autism Stories counters that by showcasing capability and variety across the entire human spectrum. It's self-advocacy in action.
But if you want a vibe shift, something that feels less like an interview and more like hanging out in a very specific, very interesting living room, the source points to 1800 Seconds on Autism.
Oh, this one has such a distinct flavor. It's hosted by Robin Stewart and Jamie Knight. Their profiles alone are fascinating.
Yeah, Robin is an author and consultant, and Jamie is an accessibility specialist and programmer at the BBC.
So you have high-level technical capability there.
But the show isn't dry technical talk at all. The Source describes it as hilarious and distinct. They cover things you would never find in a diagnostic manual. They talk about romance. They talk about their pets.
And they talk about monotropism.
Yes. Monotropism. I want to pause on this because The Source flagged this as a key insight, and it's a concept that I think is going to be brand new to a lot of listeners.
It frames the autistic experience so differently than the standard medical model.
Because the medical model usually talks about attention deficits.
Right. The standard model looks at an autistic kid in a classroom and says they have a deficit of attention because they aren't looking at the teacher. Monotropism flips that entirely.
It suggests that autistic minds are actually fantastic at attention, maybe almost too good at it.
Exactly. They focus intensely on a limited number of interests at one time. It's an attention tunnel.
So it's not that they can't pay attention, it's that their attention is a high-powered laser beam.
And that beam is locked onto one thing. If you're in the tunnel, say, you're deeply coding or reading about trains, pulling out of it to switch tasks like go eat dinner is cognitively painful.
It causes a chaotic disconnect.
Which explains so much about transitions and why they are so hard for neurodivergent folks.
It frames it as inertia, not disobedience.
Hearing two autistic hosts unpack that theory, not as a disorder to be fixed, but as a way of being to be managed, while also just talking about their cats. That blends high-level theory with everyday humanity in a way a textbook never could.
It normalizes it. It invites the listener into their world rather than keeping them as an observer.
That's the role model aspect. It shows that the expert isn't just the doctor. It's a person living the life, managing the monotropic focus, and holding down a job at the BBC.
Now, while lived experience is the foundation, The Source acknowledges that parents and professionals still need the clinical data. They need the strategies. Which brings us to the second pillar, the blend of expertise and parenting.
This is where you see the hybrid models emerging. You get the best of both worlds. The standout here is uniquely human.
This one seems like a heavy hitter. You have Dr. Barry Prezant, who wrote the book Uniquely Human, which is basically required reading in the field.
Teaming up with Dave Finch.
Right. And Dave Finch is a well-known creator in the autistic community. So look at that dynamic. You have the top-tier clinical researcher and the neurodivergent expert sharing the microphone.
It bridges the gap between what the studies say and what life actually feels like.
The review emphasizes the volume of ground they cover because of that combined network. It's not niche, it's very comprehensive. But then you have a show that is almost the polar opposite in terms of focus, specifically regarding the type of therapy discussed, Autism Live.
Autism Live serves a very different need. It's hosted by Shannon Penrod and Dr. Doreen Graham-Pisha. This is much more geared toward parents who are in the thick of it, often looking for advice on applied behavior analysis, or ABA.
And we know ABA is a specific structured framework. The Source knows that this is a resource for parents specifically looking for that behavioral approach to skill building.
It is very mechanics focused. While Uniquely Human might discount the philosophy of connection, Autism Live is where you go when you need to know how to teach toothbrushing.
Yeah, the review notes, they cover everything from heavy behavioral analysis down to the absolute nitty-gritty of daily life. Personal hygiene, shower sensory issues, diet.
That's a critical distinction. Uniquely Human gives you the why and the who. Autism Live seems to be for the how and the what.
And as The Source implies, both are necessary parts of the toolkit depending on where you are in your journey. Sometimes you need a philosophy change, and sometimes you just need a tactic to get through the morning routine.
Speaking of getting through the morning routine, sometimes the only tactic left is to laugh.
Seriously. I was genuinely surprised to see a humor category in a review of autism resources.
It feels risky, doesn't it? But the need for levity section argues that it's essential. If everything is clinical, heavy, and serious all the time, burnout is inevitable for parents and individuals. You need a release valve.
That brings us to Autastic, a comedian's guide to autism.
The title alone tells you everything. It's hosted by Graham Kay and Kirk Smith. They're professional comedians, but they have skin in the game. Graham has an autistic teenage son, and Kirk has an adult autistic brother.
I think that connection is what gives them the permission to be funny. They aren't punching down.
They aren't making fun of autism.
Yeah. Oh.
They're using humor to process the complexity and often the absurdity of the situations they find themselves in.
The source describes the vibe as entertaining and funny, but importantly, it is tempered with practical advice. They aren't just riffing.
No, they're sharing what worked and what didn't, usually through a funny story about a total failure.
It's that laughing to keep from crying energy, but made productive. They have about 100 episodes, so this is a well-established reservoir of content. It proves you can take the situation seriously without taking yourself too seriously.
Which honestly is a massive mental health strategy for caregivers.
Staying with the family perspective, but moving back to the practical side, the review highlights the autism consultant. This felt distinct because of the target demographic.
Yes. This is hosted by Molly Johnson, a former teacher. Her focus is very specifically on the younger years.
Which is so crucial.
Right. If you have a toddler or a kindergartner who just got a diagnosis, listening to a discussion about adult employment or dating might be overwhelming or completely irrelevant.
You need to know about early milestones.
Navigating the school system for the first time, understanding those early developmental gaps, figuring out the IEP process. The source notes she focuses on maximizing the child's capabilities, but strictly through that early childhood lens. It's a strategy show for the starting line.
So we have lived experience, the clinical hybrids, and the humor. The final category is where the toolkit metaphor really gets literal. The review calls this niche medical and safety strategies.
This is for when you have a very specific problem that needs a laser-focused solution.
Right. This is where we move away from general advice into specific methodologies. Take Naturally Recovering Autism.
Hosted by Karen Thomas.
Yes, a craniosacral therapist. Her backstory is the driving force here. She was told her autistic son wouldn't improve, and she refused to accept that as the final verdict. So she developed a biological, holistic, health-based approach.
The source mentions she covers things like allergies and vaccines. This is definitely leaning into the biomedical side of the conversation.
It is. It's for listeners who are looking to explore how diet, biology, gut health, and holistic therapies interact with autism. It's a very different angle than the behavioral focus of Autism Live or the social focus of Autism Stories. It adds a biological dimension to the toolkit.
Then there is a different, brilliant. I just love that name.
It's a fantastic title. Hosted by Madeline Jane Lobsey, the review flags this one for its global perspective.
She's interviewing doctors, parents, and teens from all over the world, which serves as a great reminder that autism isn't just a Western phenomenon, it's a human phenomenon.
But the source also points out that she covers some highly technical, specific profiles, like PDA.
Pathological Demand Avoidance.
We should break that down like we did with monotropism.
Mm-hmm.
What is the working definition of PDA in this context?
So PDA is a profile of autism, where the individual is driven to avoid everyday demands and expectations to an extreme extent. But it's not just stubbornness.
It's anxiety-driven.
Highly anxiety-driven. The nervous system perceives a demand like put on your shoes as a literal threat to autonomy.
So it triggers a fight-or-flight response.
Essentially, yes. It's a survival response to a loss of control. And here's why having resources about this is so vital. Standard parenting strategies, like strict boundaries, reward charts, or the classic count to three, often backfire completely with PDA kids.
They increase the anxiety.
They increase the threat level. So having a show that dives into that level of nuance, along with social issues like dating and affection, is incredibly valuable. It prevents parents from using the wrong tool for the job.
Finally, in this niche category, we have On the Spectrum. This one is interesting because it's produced by a safety tech company, AngelSense.
AngelSense is known for GPS tracking and assistive technology, specifically for wandering.
Also known as elopement.
Right. Elopement is a huge, terrifying reality for many families. It's where a child or adult wanders away from a safe environment. It happens quickly, and it can be extremely dangerous.
It's a massive safety concern. So On the Spectrum leans heavily into that.
It's not just how to parent. It's how to keep them alive and safe. It covers safety strategies, how technology can aid independence, and how to balance safety with allowing an autistic individual to live a full life. It's a very practical, safety-first resource.
So looking at this landscape, we have an incredible array of content. But the review doesn't stop at what to listen to. It actually gives some practical application advice on how to listen.
Because again, if we're talking about a community with sensory needs and limited time, the how matters just as much as the what.
The tech tips here are simple but effective. First, use your app features. Don't just hit play. Use bookmarking.
Yes. If a host drops a strategy for a meltdown in the middle of a 40-minute episode, bookmark it so you can find it when you actually need it. You won't remember the timestamp 3 days later during a crisis.
And playback speed.
Speed it up if you need to scan for info. Slow it down if the concepts are dense or if you're processing new terminology like monotropism or proprioception.
The source also makes a specific point about the hardware. If the autistic individual is the one listening, audio quality isn't just a luxury, it's an accessibility requirement.
Absolutely. If the sound is tinny, or there's background hiss, or the levels are uneven, that can be physically painful or just unlistenable for someone with auditory processing sensitivities.
The source suggests investing in quality noise-canceling headphones.
It allows the listener to focus on the content without the distraction of the environment. It basically turns the audio into a safe space.
There was one other suggestion that I thought was brilliant for families, the shared experience.
This is about using the audio as a bridge. Communication can be hard, especially with teens. The idea is that caretakers, family members, and the autistic individual listen to the same thing separately and then come together to discuss it.
It solves that awkward, how is your day problem, where you just get a grunt in response.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Direct questions about feelings can be invasive or overwhelming.
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, I heard that guy talk about his special interest in trains, how does that compare to how you feel about Minecraft?
Mm-hmm.
You are externalizing the topic.
It's not an interrogation about them. It's a discussion about a third party.
It triangulates the conversation. It takes the pressure off.
I want to wrap up by circling back to the emotional core of this. We've analyzed the mechanics, the categories, and the tech, but the testimonials included in the source material were really the heavy hitters for me. They clarify why this matters so much.
They were profound. There was one from a 44-year-old autistic man. Now, this is a guy who works as an ABA therapist and has an autistic child. He is deeply embedded in this world professionally and personally. He knows the science.
Right.
And yet he wrote to a creator asking, "Did you make this for me?"
That gave me chills when I read it. It just shows that no matter how much expert knowledge you have, you can still feel isolated in your own experience. Finding a voice that resonates with your specific lived reality is vastly different than reading a textbook.
And then there was the parent of the autistic teenager who wrote, "I finally found my place." They noted that their own therapist didn't have knowledge about a specific nervous system disability their child had, but the creator did.
That's the gap these resources are filling. They're filling the gaps that the medical system and the educational system leave behind.
They're digital homes. That's the big takeaway. In a world of information overload, finding a voice that speaks specifically to your situation isn't just about learning facts. It's about validation. It's about someone saying, "I see you, and I know how hard this is."
So that is the question we want to leave you with today. We've laid out the buffet, the raw authenticity of autism stories, the clinical parenting hybrid of uniquely human, the comedy of autastic, and the safety focus of on the spectrum.
Each one serves a different function in the toolkit. You don't need all of them all the time, but you probably need one of them right now.
Which of these voices resonates with where you are on your journey today? Are you looking for a laugh, a safety strategy, or just to hear a voice that sounds like yours?
It might be time to put on those noise-canceling headphones and find out.
Thanks for diving into this with us.
Take care, everyone.